next Sunday, Alpha, for those who are involved, for all those who are involved, could we meet in the Bridges Cafe at 6 o'clock for a time of prayer and to get things set up? That's important. Then we'll go over to Thrums and have our two-course meal, and then we'll come back to Bridges for coffee, biscuits, the video, and discussion. If we can do that, that's next Sunday at 6 o'clock. Quite looking forward to it. And there'll be about, as far as I can see, about 11 of us, some of us from the fellowship and one or two elsewhere. So feel, even at this stage, if you want to go, you must let me know for meals. The last time we met as elders, we had a time of prayer that God would give us his revelation regarding anything that was of the dark side, anything that was a curse, anything that was not right, that we could put things right with ourselves and with others around us. There's been quite a lot of illness in the fellowship, and we just wondered whether it was appropriate just to recognize that, hey, maybe there's something there that we need to look at in terms of taking authority in the name of Jesus. I wonder if how many of us have tried to trace our family tree. I know that Ruth Bamford, who used to be in the fellowship, she traced hers away back and to the Singer sewing machine people and away back to people in America. And it was quite exciting. My own situation, no, I haven't tried to, but the Ingalls family are reported to be foreigners from England, and we were cattle thieves. And there's many a black sheep in the family, our family, and maybe your family. If we look at Jesus' family tree, we find that his records, in Matthew, the family line was taken through Joseph, and in the Luke gospel, the family line is taken through his mother, Mary. And we find a really mixed lot. We find that there's those who worship pagan gods and others who, although they were sinful, they were used by God. There was Boaz, whose wife was Ruth. And you'll remember Ruth, who said to his mother-in-law, "Where you go, I will go. And where you die, I will be buried with you." And it was that your God will be my God. And then, of course, the prostitute from Jericho. She was part of Jesus' family line. Rahab the prostitute, who hid the spies in Jericho under the flax on her roof. And then, of course, King David and Bathsheba. They were also part of Jesus' family line. And Jesus, although he was a man, he was also God. And he descended through that family line of flawed forebears to his mother, Mary. In becoming a Christian, you have a new life. There's maybe characteristics of the family life in you, as there is in all of us, in the gene makeup, traits that are still there. You're still maybe a chip off the old block. And you wonder, where is it all? Where does it come from? Why have I got the talent for music or for art or for whatever? It came right down through the generations. Me and I looked at our various situation, and we found things that we felt we had to take authority on. Both in May's family line and in my family line, there is Freemasonry. And we felt very strongly that we had to cut that in the name of Jesus, because Satan would use something like that, a secretive, divisive organization, which is very prevalent in Kirriemuir, Angus, Scotland. It's all over the world, even in royalty. Even presidents of the United States were all Freemasons. Secretive. You can't even tell the men who are in that, can't even tell their wives what the secrets are. And if you do betray, their handbook says your tongue would be cut out and buried above the high water mark. Huh? I don't think that's ever happened, but that's what they say. And we took authority against that. despite our life in Jesus, sometimes there are issues in the past that still affect us. Paul says, hey, my old nature still tugs at me. My old nature still has an influence over me. The things I want to desire, I cannot do. But thanks be to God, he gives me the victory. So even Paul found in the past there were things that still affected him. We can easily suffer from demonic attack. You'll know the story of Ahab, who was doing battle in the field. And one of the enemy drew his bow and shot at random. And Ahab was caught through the joints of his armor. But he was propped up in the chariot. His driver propped him up and says, don't fall down, even although you're seriously wounded. It will affect the morale of the troops who are fighting. And he was propped up in the chariot and hemorrhaged his life away and was dead at sunset. In Ephesians 6, we are told, put on the full armor of God. Be ready to fight. And when you fight, stand. Stand still against the enemy. And of course, if we are not aware, the Bible says so often, watch and pray. Be careful. Watch out for the enemy, because our weakness could be the back, which is unprotected, or joints in the armor. We have to take authority. We have to stand and take our guard against the evil one. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, so if you're thinking you're standing firm, be careful, or you'll fall. Watch and pray. We know that we are the children of God, but the whole world is under the control of the evil one. 1 John 5 and 19. Listen again. We know that we are the children of God, but the whole world is under the control of the evil one. And I remember arguing with somebody and saying, the whole world? And they says, no, he is permitted his influence by God. He's like a lion on a chain. He's permitted. He's not. God has supreme control over the entire world, but he has permitted Satan at this moment to have control over the world. Sometimes trouble comes by our selfish motives. Sometimes we blame, what's wrong with me? Why? Why is the problem hitting me? And of course, if we look at the prodigal son, Luke 15, here he was, selfish. Dad, I'm fed up with this farm. I'm fed up picking tatties in the rain. I'm fed up tying up the raspberries in the autumn. Dad, I want out. Give me the portion of my inheritance. And willfully, selfishly, he goes into the far country and spends his money and then sits amongst the pigs and says, what a fool I've been. Trouble brought on himself by greed. And sometimes trouble hits us. I wonder how many of us have got awake at 3 o'clock in the morning and said, gosh, my uncle has died of a stroke. My granddad died of a stroke. My father died of a stroke. I'm going to die of a stroke. And sometimes we can think these things. Because of our inheritance, it's going to hit us as well. The Bible says we are a new creation, and yet sometimes we are plagued by these thoughts from the past, a chip off the old block. The Bible says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. And if you are plagued by those things that have come down the family line, you take authority. I am a new creation in Jesus, and I will not allow these things to invade my thoughts, particularly when I lie awake at night and think about all these things that are going to, you think are going to happen to you. We have allowed our intimate relationship with Christ and allowed these old fears to come in and get us. Trouble can sometimes happen through deliberate disobedience. No one will find out. I'm on holiday. I'm miles away from anybody who can see me. I will take a risk, and we do something that we know is totally wrong. Just like David and Bathsheba. It's all right. I'm the king. I've got authority. I've got status. I'll sleep with that woman. It'll be okay. And then, oh dear, she's pregnant. I will arrange for her husband, Uriah, to die on the battlefield. We get found out. Sometimes we are caught by demonic influence. Sometimes Satan can have a ball with us. Have we dabbled in fortune-telling, Ouija boards? Have we dabbled in the zodiac, the stars? Have we dabbled with spiritualism or spiritism? The Bible in Deuteronomy 17, Luke 19, is totally against anything of divination, totally against it. In fact, the penalty for witchcraft in the Old Testament was death. And if you've dabbled in anything like that at all, you need to be set free from it. We need to have discernment that when we see things in our lives that I don't understand where this came from, that we pray for Holy Spirit discernment. You know, we can go the other way. I remember in the 1980s, we would go down to the leaders' meetings in the Gate Fellowship. And here we would discuss the ley lines, the lines of evil influence radiating from stone circles or from pagan places of pagan worship. And we would, with a ruler, we would measure out straight lines, wondering where these ley lines would go. And we got completely obsessed with looking for evil in these ley lines and what they meant and these light sites of pagan worship. We would also be thinking, but Satan, he plays golf an awful lot, this man. He neglects his wife and family. He must have a spirit of greed. The spirit of golf, the spirit of greed. I remember somebody went down to the Kirriemuir Square and looked at the Peter Pan statue. And he saw fairies and golfs and frogs and all these kind of things. Oh, goodness me, the boy that never grew up, Peter Pan. Kirriemuir, the town that's never going to grow up. It's a satanic thing. And I remember thinking, what? You're joking. What about Grimm's fairy tales? What about all these things? Are they all satanic? Not at all. And sometimes we got obsessed. We sometimes got Satan in a place that he should never have been. We paid attention to him, and we should have ignored him and taken authority if we felt there was anything there that was bothering us. The Bible says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Yes, Satan is alive and well. He's out to deceive and mislead, but we don't give him an undue place of prominence. Resist Satan, and he will flee from you. If we take authority in the name of Jesus, he will flee from us. And as I said before, Satan is not all evil. He's a mixture of good and evil. We don't sometimes recognize that. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 11 and 15, he masquerades as an angel of light. We've got to be very aware of that. In 2 Corinthians 10 and 3, it says, for though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Evil. We've been to Uganda quite a few times, and it's interesting. I remember somebody saying the story of AIDS. The AIDS epidemic was sweeping the Western world and in Africa as well. And lots of children had AIDS, and lots of adults had AIDS. And remember somebody saying, lorry drivers used to drive over from Rwanda or Burundi, I don't know which it was. They would stop at the border, they would spend the night with a prostitute, they would head to their families, they would infect their wives, they would have a family there that would go down with illness. They would go to the witch doctor, and the witch doctor would come, and he would let blood with a razor blade. And he would let the blood from mom and dad and the children. And because he used the same razor blade, he would infect the whole family. And some of these witch doctors eventually came to that place where they would burn the spells and they would burn the equipment that they had and became Christians, knowing the love of Jesus. We have authority over the evil one. I went to Hyderabad in India with Stuart Brunton, and I remember Pastor William Carey and his wife Hepzibah. Hepzibah, what does that mean? And it is scriptural, and it means my delight is in her. But William Carey and Hepzibah were members of the Hindu religion, and they were part of the Brahmin caste. And the Brahmin caste is the highest caste in Hindu, the highest caste. They are the caste that had the priestly office to be able to do the various religious ceremonies. When they were converted, they are an amazing testimony. But one thing he did say was, we were looking for a house in Hyderabad and we couldn't afford it. He didn't get paid very much. They couldn't afford it. But in the paper they saw, flat for sale in a high-rise building. Wow, let's see, it seems very cheap. Smoke damaged, it says. So they turned up, they got the keys and they went in. And right enough, the place was black with smoke. And a neighbor came to the door and says, just a minute. This house shouldn't be for sale. There's an evil presence in it. The woman who was in this dabbled in spiritism. She lost her mind. She became possessed with a spirit of suicide. She poured petrol over herself and she set herself on fire and she threw herself off the balcony and killed herself. Don't touch the house. And William Carey and his wife said, yeah, we will buy the house because the price is the price that we could afford. And we will take authority over anything in this house. And they did. And they took authority in the name of Jesus over that house. And they moved in. And apparently the first night they were there, the young girl in the house woke up screaming that there was something in the bedroom they couldn't understand. There's a presence here. And they had to take authority again and took authority and cleansed that house. And when Stuart Brunton and I went into the house, because we were there for a meal, he said, look at the mark on the door. There was a handprint on one of the doors where this poor woman, in her way to get out to the balcony to throw herself off, had touched that door. And there was a print of the hand on it. But that house had been totally cleansed by the power of Jesus. And the neighbors could not understand it. How can these Christians move into a place that was so horribly polluted with evil? And here they are living peacefully with a lovely family. God reigns in that family. Amazing. It's so easy to realize that we take things for granted. You know, in your own family, we do take each other for granted. We take our spouses for granted. Dad will earn the money and he will keep the car on the road and he will make sure everything goes well. Mom will look after it. Yes, there'll be tea on the table at 5 o'clock. It's okay, yeah. And the young teenagers who's running out for a party or for an activity leaves the room like a bomb site. I hope you teenagers are listening. Leave the room like a bomb site. It's all right. Mom will tidy it up. Just taken for granted. But that's what a family is. And we are a family. Abba, Father. Jesus, you're our daddy. Thank you for all that you've done. And it's so easy to take each other for granted. But we do. The praise team is here every week. You know, we just accept that. Somebody goes to the bother of setting up the trolley and bringing in the tea. Ricky does all this setting up every Sunday. Stuart Parker sets out all these chairs. Ach, it's all right. We can be a wee bit late. Others are doing it. Don't know who, but it's okay. We take each other for granted. Why? Because we're a family. It's just what you do in a family. And yet, it can go too far. Sometimes it's nice to say, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate what you do. I know somebody, not in this church, nor ever has been in this church, but somebody who left. Why did you leave? They didn't appreciate my praise leadership and my guitar playing. I just feel so upset. They didn't even say thank you, so I left. Eh? Great. Why do you do all these things, folks? For him. You're not doing it for reward. You're not doing it for status. Why do people work in the cafe? This man's done all the work down there, setting it all up. John at the back has looked after the electrics. What did they do that for? Were they paid? No. Maybe expenses, but they didn't get paid anything for their own labor. They did it for him. And that's why we're here. We do it for Jesus. And that's the great thing. We can so easily take things for granted. I've mentioned this before. I know you're going to say, oh, I've heard this before. This guy, Rick Joyner, had a vision. And it was an amazing vision. And he wrote it down to a Christian newspaper. But eventually, he put the various writings into a book. And it's called The Final Quest, 1995. And in that final quest, he has a picture of the army of Satan stretched from horizon to horizon, battle standards unfurled, advancing relentlessly. And he says, as I looked at that vision, whether it was a dream or whether it was something much more realistic, I don't know. But he says, I was zoned in to the army and I was horrified to realize that most of the army comprised Christians. Christians with demons on their backs. Christians who had been offended, hurt by other Christians. Christians who were offended and were gossiping about other people in order to justify their complaint. Christians who had disagreed with leadership and decided that they knew best, and anyway, that church was no good. Christians feeling that their gifting and their ministry hadn't been recognized. Shocking, I'm leaving. Christians who had a spirit of unforgiveness. Christians who had a spirit of revenge. That's what Satan can use. Any one of us, including myself, we can be resentful and speak ill of others and allow Satan to come in so subtly that we cause division and upset in our fellowship. We've got to watch that so carefully. In Ephesians 4:27, it says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body or family. In our anger, do not sin, and do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give a foothold for Satan. He is alive and well, and he will use you and me if you don't keep close to Jesus, if you don't listen to that still, small voice. Now, I don't know if I've touched any chords today at all, maybe not. But if you feel you want prayer, if there's an illness that you haven't got rid of and you just wonder, is there something more than just a normal or an abnormal illness? Is there something of a curse? Is there something in my background, in my family tree, Freemasonry, anything like that? Have I dabbled with spiritism, Ouija board, fortune telling? Is there something I should get prayer for? I'm going to invite you to come forward for prayer. I've already mentioned to the elders that if you feel you want prayer, come forward and the elders will pray for you. Ricky, play that soft, gentle music if you can. And I'm just going to pray And if you feel there is something you want to pray for, please come out. Please come out. Lord Jesus, you've heard what I said this morning. I felt that you were speaking to me during the week, and I put that together. I know that Athene has mentioned this before. We prayed about it at the last elders' meeting. But Lord, if there's anything lurking here that is satanic or demonic, or if there's anything that has come down the family line, we pray that you would reveal it and that we would come forward for prayer. We're not going to make a fuss of this, but we just pray that you would clear the decks of anything that would inhibit progress in this fellowship, anything that would inhibit progress in the Alpha course, anything in our family lives that would cause division. And we pray that right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, speak to your people for your name's sake. Amen. If you feel you want prayer, come forward.